If you would, at this time, if you would take your Bibles and open to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Acts 20, verse 28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood.
There will always be a need in the body of Christ for shepherds who seek to shepherd like the Good Shepherd, Jesus. There will always be a need in the church for shepherds who shepherd like the Good Shepherd, Jesus. I hope you'll remember this. A person that is too big to serve the people of God is too small to shepherd the people of God. If one thinks that one is too good to serve the people of God, one needs to stop and consider Jesus. Fully God, perfectly God, and yet God comes down and walks among us, and he serves. I am among you as he who serves, Jesus would say, Matthew 20 and verse 28. So that principle stands. If we are too big to serve God and his people, we're too small to shepherd God and his people. Because at the heart of shepherding is humble service and a desire to honor the King. All right, as we continue, this morning we looked at seven rules of engagement. It's really important that as we go through the process of selecting additional elders, Lord willing, that we play by the rules. And God has not left himself silent as concerning what the rules are, even though it seems often in an elder selection, in a shepherd selection process, we automatically go straight to the qualifications in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1. And in one sense, that's understandable. But we need to stop and think of proper Christian rules of engagement first. And that's why we began the lesson the way that we did. Because by not looking at the rules of engagement, somebody might be able to say, well, I really didn't give that a whole lot of thought going into this. Well, that's exactly what we need to be doing, giving the rules of engagement a lot of thought as we go into this process. Especially if we want shepherds who shepherd like Jesus. Now tonight, we're going to look at shepherding, its importance, its terms, and the divine wisdom behind it. Shepherding, its importance, its terms, and the divine wisdom behind it. In case you don't get that, there are three major points in the lesson tonight. Shepherding, its importance, number one. Shepherding, its terms, number two. And then shepherding, the divine wisdom behind it, number three. So without further explanation, let's dive on in. Shepherding, its importance. Let me talk about this in two basic ways. The importance of having godly shepherds, first of all, conceptually, as a concept. But secondly, biblically, and how the Bible emphasizes this. When you stop and think about shepherds in the church, and the concept, every institution in existence has some kind of structure and it has some type of oversight. For example, our country consists of three great branches of government: the legislative, the judicial, and what else? The executive. We think about that on a national level. We think also of state government and city government. Every institution, every entity has some form of government, of oversight. those who are servants of the people, we would say, concerning the national level, the state level, and the local level. We think about businesses. If you are involved in a business or corporation, perhaps you have people that there is a structure there, a design. There's structure. When you think about education and a school, whether it is public school, private school, or homeschooling, there is some kind of structure. There are people to whom the students are answerable. This is not something, then, that is unique to the church. When we talk about the church, and conceptually, the idea is for every congregation, ideally, here's the idea, to be scripturally organized with elders, deacons, and saints members. Philippians 1 and verse 1. Qualified men serving as elders, qualified men serving as deacons, the church as a whole. Philippians 1 1. Now that brings me to another concept. It is important to say that the church is a divine monarchy. The church is the body. Jesus is the head. The church is the kingdom. The Lord is the king. The church has elders. The Lord is the good shepherd, John 10, 11 through 18. He is the chief shepherd, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. And He is the great shepherd, Hebrews 13 and verse 21. A lot to think about here. So conceptually, this is an important matter. And really what elders are delegated, they are men who are delegated authority by Jesus, who has all authority, Matthew 28, 18. But they're delegated authority in the matters of expedience and judgment. The concept is important to understand that the best shepherds are under shepherds of the chief shepherd and submit to his authority and exercise their responsibility in areas of expedience and judgment. Again, this is important because this concept of shepherding, because it needs to be restored. The elders are not a board of directors. The elders are not just a good old boys club. The elders are men who seek to shepherd like the good shepherd. That's what they are. And so this needs to be restored, but not just that. By thinking about this concept and honoring God with the concept of shepherds who shepherd like the good shepherd, a lot of errors will be combated outside of the church. Have you ever stopped to think how many religious groups had their beginnings because of a failure to appreciate what the New Testament says about leadership? And do you think about how many problems occur in congregations today of the Lord's people in churches of Christ because of a failure of leaders as shepherds to shepherd like the good shepherd? We can take care of many problems that might conceivably arise by respecting God's Word and what Jesus has taught in Scripture about shepherds who shepherd like Him. Here's something else. I believe with all of my heart that thinking about the concept of the importance of shepherds will encourage Lynn and Terry. It will encourage present shepherds to keep on keeping on. How could it not? It encourages me to think about the kind of men that we have and the kind of men that we can have added to our leadership here at Westside. But here's something else that's really important about the concept before I go on and look at things a little more biblically. Dealing with the concept of shepherds in the church is important because it will educate, inform, and train another generation. One of the most important things to me is that some young person here may remember something that I said years from now in talking about this. Because the church needs to always be trained and informed and educated regarding the future. And future leadership's that important. Got that with me? Having looked at the concept, now turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts. And what I'm going to do is just kind of give a sweeping overview of what the Bible's got to say about shepherds. And by doing that, you'll see the importance. Turn to Acts. If you would, open your Bibles to Acts chapter 11, consider verses 29 and 30. Acts 11, 29 and 30. When you compare Acts 11, 29 and 30 to a similar type passage, Philippians 4, 16 through 18, you will understand that elders had an important role in getting funds, receiving and sending funds to help the needy. In receiving and sending funds to help the needy. You'll see that. Keep going on. Look in your Bible, if you would, at another passage in Acts. Look at Acts 14 and verse 23. Acts 14, 23. It was God's will, again, ideally, that shepherds, elders, be appointed in every fill-in-the-blank. It's God's will that ideally elders be appointed in every what? Church. So when a church does not have biblically qualified elders, the situation is not ideal. And for the life of me, I wonder sometimes how churches can go 40, 50, and 60 years and never have elders. What are we saying about ourselves? Should make us think about how important this is to God. Look at Acts chapter 15. You look at Acts 15, verses 1 and 2. Look at Acts 15, verse 6. Look at Acts 15, verses 22 and 23. This section has to do with the Jerusalem meeting. And what are we going to do with Gentiles who become Christians? What do elders do? They are qualified men who respond to doctrinal controversies. They're qualified men who respond to doctrinal controversies. That's just from the book of Acts so far. It's good to be able to have elders along with others who can biblically and wisely respond to doctrinal controversies. Now turn, if you will, to Acts 20. Acts 20, verses 17 through 38. What do elders do? It shows something of the importance of their work. They're really involved in receiving and sending funds to help people that are in need. They really are involved because they're ideally to be found in every church. They're important. They are important because of what I just mentioned here in Acts 15 and how they respond to doctrinal controversy with wisdom and decisive action that honors God and honors His Word. Then we get to this idea. In Acts 20, verses 17 through 38. Shepherds are important because they oversee the flock. They feed the flock. And they guard and protect the sheep. Shepherds are important. If you listen to the scripture reading just a few moments ago in Acts 20 and verse 28, shepherds are important. Why? They are overseers. They feed the flock. They protect and guard the flock. That's important, brothers and sisters. Now turn, if you will, to Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21. Notice verses 18 through 26. It always seems to help if we look and see how a subject is dealt with in Scripture overall. It'll make us appreciate why God does what He's doing. And in Acts chapter 21, verses 18 through 26, elders give Paul counsel in a matter of personal judgment. They counsel Paul in a matter of personal judgment. They are counseling someone, the elders there at Jerusalem, who's an apostle. I guess if an apostle could be counseled by elders, a preacher can be too, huh? And if an apostle can be counseled by elders, you can too. Well, they counseled Paul as it concerned relationships with the Jews, though now he is the apostle to the Gentiles. Let's move on. Turn to Philippians 1:1. Again, you have how churches are to be scripturally organized, with elders, deacons, and members. Philippians 1, verse 1. Again, and this in my notes will be from the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 and 13. And I'm trying to move along in the order in which you have the books in your New Testament. In 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 and 13, the Word of God says that those who are hardworking elders and who are over you in the Lord, or something to that effect, you are to esteem and to love them for their work's sake. That was 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 and 13. Now turn to 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7. 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7, qualifications of shepherds, of those who would shepherd. This is a track record that has been seen before they begin to serve as shepherds. The qualifications of having a good marriage, family, etc., blameless. Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 9, yet another passage that deals especially with qualifications for elders. You'll see a lot of parallels between the two. 1 Timothy 4, 14, where Paul speaks of how that the elders by prophecy had said something concerning Timothy. The presbytery had laid hands on him, the elders had, as they were indicating that this man would have a special work, a special ministry. By 1 Timothy 4:14, jot down 2 Timothy 1:6, where Paul refers to a gift that he had imparted as an apostle to Timothy. In one case, you have elders, it seems, who through the gift of prophecy that they may have had, made a prophetic utterance concerning Timothy. And then they lay hands on him as a group of leaders for the ministry in which he would be engaged. In another, you have an apostle, Paul, conferring miraculous gifts on Timothy so that he could do the work that he was needing to do. Both passages complement and harmonize with each other. Good to keep those two in mind, however. When you look at 1 Timothy, look at chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. Those that oversee well, that rule well, may be in the translation that you read from. Those men are worthy of double honor. And the idea is this: if it is in the best interest of the church, shepherds can be paid. A lot of times they are at great expense and make significant financial sacrifices to do the Lord's work as shepherds. It is just as scriptural to pay a shepherd as it is to pay a preacher. Fair enough. And it goes on to say in 1 Timothy 5:19, it talks about an accusation against an elder ought to be taken seriously, but it should involve two or three witnesses. Derelict shepherds will hurt the body of Christ. I want to tell you something real quick. When Israel wanted a king, they wanted to be just like the nations. And one chosen was a guy who was head and shoulders taller than everybody else. He looked the part of a king. You remember his name, don't you? Saul. In one sense, I guess you could say that God gave the people exactly what they wanted. He gave them someone who looked as though they should fit the part. And they impulsively bought it. Let me warn you against impulsive buying in to something regarding the elders of the church. Short-term solutions have a nasty habit of becoming long-term problems. Short-term solutions have a nasty habit of becoming a long-term problem. And Saul's problem was, when push comes to shove, he had to have his way. And God honoring wasn't nearly as important to him as Saul honoring. And for 40 years that continued in Israel. Now the next king you're going to be familiar with too, his name is David. I got to tell you, Samuel didn't think he looked the part. He thought it should have been maybe one of his brothers. But according to Psalm 78 and verse 72, with skillfulness of hands and integrity of heart, he led them. You see, David always wanted to shepherd God's people the way he knew the good shepherd shepherded his soul. Here's another thing to consider before I leave this area, is Ichabod in the eldership. A number of years ago, I preached a sermon, Is Ichabod in the Pulpit? Based on a passage in 1 Samuel 4, verses 19 through 21. Is Ichabod in the eldership? Well, I got to tell you, there's some places where you'll scratch your head and wonder if he's not. Is Ichabod in the eldership? You see, Eli had two sons named Hophni and Phinehas. And the Bible says that they were worthless and immoral, even though they were in a position of spiritual leadership. Worthless, immoral people in a position of spiritual leadership. And in 1 Samuel 4, 19 through 21, Phinehas has a wife who's with child. And she hears about the death of her husband, and she hears about the death of her father-in-law, Eli, and she hears about how the Ark of the Covenant is now in possession of the Philistines of all people. And she names the baby Ichabod, which means the glory has departed. The glory of God must not depart from the leadership of the people of God. It must ever be at the forefront of those who are spiritual leaders. It must ever be at the forefront of those of us who preach the glory of God. Because that'll help us to preach in a way that honors Jesus and to lead and shepherd in a way that reflects the Good Shepherd. Keep going with me through the Word of God. Just a few more New Testament passages. This is by far the longest point. James 5, 13 through 15. good shepherds visit and pray for the sick. Good shepherds visit and pray for the sick. As a preacher, I've made thousands of visits over the years to the sick, and I don't mind doing it. But elders, there's specific reference to them being the ones who do the visiting and praying for the sick. Again, when you look at God's Word, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, Peter writing as a fellow shepherd talks about the importance of humility and the importance of wanting what's best for the cause. And then lastly, Hebrews 13 and verse 17, that elders will give an account for our souls. Now that's going to be one to ask. Every shepherd who shepherds like Jesus, not when they shake your hand, they're also thinking about one day I will give an account to God for this person's soul. That doesn't make you tremble, Terry. That doesn't make you tremble sometimes, Lynn. But elders do have a role that involves giving an account for the souls that they shepherd. That doesn't absolve us personally. But you know, I would like to think that Terry and Lynn would rejoice to be able to give an account for my soul and for yours. Wouldn't you? The terms. When you think about the terms, there are six or seven different words that fall under three basic groupings that are used as terms for elder. The first one is elder or presbyter. Elder or presbyter. It is probably the most frequent, but not the exclusive term describing shepherds. Elders or presbyters, the Greek word presbyteros, presbyteros, presbyter. When you think about this, this term is found in passages like Acts 20 and verse 17. Paul calls the elders of the church at Ephesus. Acts 20, 17, elders. In 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4, Peter's speaking as a fellow elder. And so the idea behind elder or presbyter is this, quite simply, a man of maturity, age, wisdom, and judgment. A man of maturity, age, wisdom, and judgment. You know, a 20-year-old doesn't know a whole lot by way of maturity and experience and wisdom, though they may have an awful lot of brain cell capacity. Isn't that true? When we're talking about an elder, when we're talking about a presbyter, we are talking about wisdom, age, maturity, judgment. Because if elders have a God-given responsibility in areas of judgment, you might want to have guys that have good judgment serving in the capacity that will behave wisely. Y'all got that? What is interesting is this. In Acts 20 and verse 17, as well as Acts 20, 28, you find all three basic categories. You find the word presbyter, or presbyteros in Greek for elder. That's verse 17. Then you find episkopos, which is in Acts 20 and verse 28 and has to do with oversee or supervise or superintend the people of God. Look over them. Another passage that deals with all three terms as well It's 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4. So Acts 20, verse 17 and verse 28, all three basic terms for elders, those men who would be shepherds in the church. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4, all three terms, basic terms for men who would be shepherds in the church. And each one gives insight. A man of maturity, wisdom, judgment, age, who also oversees and who also supervises or superintends. Acts kind of like you have this role of watching over and making sure everybody is healthy and doing okay. That brings me to the third term, shepherd or pastor. When you see the term pastor, it's the word shepherd. It's the word in Greek, poimen, P-O-I-M-E-N, in our spelling. That's an important term, and you may have shepherd the church of God in Acts 20, verse 28. Or feed the church of God. What do shepherds do? They feed, they lead, they take care of God's people. So when you think of this term, the term shepherd or pastor, it carries with it the idea of being a man of heart, a man of compassion, a man of concern for sheep, God's people. Now, in Titus 1, verse 6, there's another term. And the term is stewards, as stewards of God, Titus 1, 6. And the Greek word is oikonomos, O-I-K-O-N-I-M-O-S, I believe, oikonomos. And it carries with it the idea of a sacred trust to be managed. The terms then show the importance of the role. What is a shepherd who shepherds like the good shepherd? He has a sacred trust from God that he seeks to manage with heart and with compassion, as he oversees and watches out over souls committed to his care with wisdom and maturity and judgment and good sense. See what just happened? God's pretty well let us know what kind of man he's looking for. Amen. Now, let's spend just a little bit of time looking at the wisdom of God in this. The wisdom of God. Give me 5 minutes. Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 3. In Ephesians 3, notice verses 10 and 11. We referred to 20 and 21 in the morning lesson. Now look at 10 and 11, and let's put both of them together. The church has a vital role in making known the wisdom and the eternal purpose of God in Christ Jesus. You see that? I hope that by the time we get to mid-August, people will see how wise and wonderful God's Word is and how blessed we will be with additional men serving at that time. To Him be glory in the church throughout all the ages in Christ, world without end. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. So the church has a purpose in making known this great wisdom of God to the world. Let me show you the wisdom of God in the eldership in shepherds, in godly shepherds, the wisdom of, first of all, a plurality. A plurality. Plurality means not singular. There are to be a plurality of elders in local churches. You never read of a single elder. Even when Peter says, fellow elder, that lets you know more's involved, doesn't it? It's the elders of the church. The Bible knows nothing of a single elder being in charge. The Bible knows nothing of senior elders and junior elders. The Bible simply talks about elders, period. All right? Why is this important? Because it keeps one man from taking too much on himself. One man taking on too much led to Catholicism and the papacy. One man taking on too much led to denominationalism. One man taking on way too much led to Mormonism. Seems like it's a lesson to be learned. There is wisdom, divine wisdom, in plurality. And that means, now I'm just going to say it's possible that some elders will be younger and be working than Terry, who end up working with Terry. And while Terry's experience and background ought to be valued, the younger men who may be serving with him chronologically are just as much elders as Terry will be if that time happens. And you'll have some adjusting to do, you know, because you had to look up to Lynn and call him sir because he's just a little bit older than you. But, you know, adjustments have to be made for the cause of Christ. A plurality of elders means everyone has gifts and talents, and that not everyone has the same exact gifts and talents and experiences, but they all come together. A plurality. The wisdom of autonomy. You see the wisdom of autonomy in the elders, in shepherds who shepherd like Jesus. And autonomy means self-governing. People have asked through the years, where are the headquarters for the churches of Christ? Is the headquarters in Nashville, Tennessee? Is the headquarters in Abilene? The headquarters of the body of Christ is where the head is, in heaven. That's where the headquarters. You know what? It's not Salt Lake City. It's not Rome. It's not Anderson, Indiana. A bunch of other places. The headquarters is heaven. And churches are self-governing. And by that I mean in these areas of expedience and judgment where the elders have responsibility and oversight, there can be considerable room for some differences. But it also keeps cancer and sin and other things from just running rampant in every congregation. You ever stop to think that Ephesus and Smyrna in Revelation chapter 2 were only 30 to 40 miles apart? And one church has left its first love, and the other church is greatly commended with not one negative thing said. And Steve, the church at Philadelphia and the church at Laodicea, only about 40 miles apart. Not much farther than Midland and Odessa. But Laodicea made God sick. In Philadelphia, he didn't have one complaint that he brought out against him. I see the wisdom of God in leadership, in the plurality, but also in the autonomy. How about in the qualifications? God's given us qualifications. I see the wisdom of God in the qualifications here. We'll talk more about them next Sunday, Lord willing. How about in having men of age and maturity and wisdom and judgment? Trace, I love you, man, but you're not ready yet to be an elder. Yet there's a really well-known group that have guys that they want to call elders that are coming to knock on your door all the time. I got to say, if a person's young enough to be my grandson, he's not an elder in the biblical sense of the word. When we think about the wisdom of God in this, all we can do is marvel. I think about this fact as we conclude. The wisdom of God in shepherds being under shepherds of the chief shepherd. Jesus modeled a type of shepherding that everyone who serves as a shepherd should seek to model. To imitate. Shepherds who shepherd like the good shepherd. Thank you for listening. We're about to stand and sing the song that has been announced by our brother Waylon just a little while ago. I realize that these lessons are not primarily about salvation, but they're about eternity, and they're about the future, and they're about an impact for good that needs to be made. And so, friend, if you have not come to the Good Shepherd, I hope that you will tonight respond to His grace and faith and repentance and obedience, being baptized for the forgiveness of your sins and added to the church of Jesus Christ. Let us stand and sing.